What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. Today, we're back with me and Julia to talk about Survivor Season 46, Episode 6, titled Cancel Christmas. And we have a merge, baby. We are merged.
Ooh,
and
we're merged.
The whole crew is at the NAMI camp, and I finally have a will to live. And I'm officially enjoying the season. I'm enjoying.
Let me tell you, I was flatlining for a little bit there.
Correct.
Now, the pulse is back. My heart beats back. That's the same thing. No, I feel great. We had such a blast watching again. Like, we're back to that. You gave me such comfort.
Me?
In your ex. You gave me such comfort. Always. You give me such comfort. But specifically when you said that the reason I was worried that I was down on the season. I was worried that I could no longer choose love. There was no options at the table. I could not choose anything. And you gave me such comfort in your reminder that the past couple episodes have felt very formulaic and not very differentiated from one another, because one, it was just like the Banu train we were on, which was entertaining until it got exhausting. And then two, we just had Yanu, 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 which now retrospectively, I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm so glad we got to know those people because I love them. I love them.
Same.
I might even say I definitely love them more than Lulu. I think I love them more than Tika.
Especially looking back now, as I think about Tika and just like their social media presences, I fully like Yanu more. You already spelled this out when I asked you, would you rather be like Lulu, Tika, whatever. Tika, in the same vein, is just, they were the down and out tribe. They were like the kooky three that, like, you know, people underestimated, et cetera. But Q, Kenzie, and Tiff are strong three.
They are strong.
They're cool. They're sociable.
They're entertaining.
Not that you need to be cool, but I'm just saying, like, it's just, they're like so easy to root for.
It certainly helps. They're all good looking. I like looking at them all.
All three. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's like amazing. Not to like say none of our other tribes are good looking, and like our past season players were not good. Everyone's like, everyone to me, I said this week when we watched, I'm like, everyone gets hotter every single episode. I'm like, I don't know what the goggles are that I'm putting on before I watch the show, but I think everyone looks so hot and they just keep getting hotter and hotter to me. But anyways,
the dirtier they get, I'm just like, yeah.
Oh my God. It's like turning me on. But you gave me such comfort in your reminder that we are just in a rut. We are going to break free of this. The merge shook things up. It's giving us new life. It's giving the players new life. I've got so much to talk about. And so for as annoying and frustrating as the rut was to be in, the good thing coming out of it is my love for Yanu. I'm glad we got the time with them. And now we're like, now we're cooking with fire, baby.
Yeah, this one has, we have a lot to get through in this one. It's the first one that it's all over the place because now the teams are talking to each other. So before we jump in, I want to do an idol check. Really, the only reason I want to do the idol check is to say that Tiff calls her idol Idolisha, which is so funny.
So
Hunter
good.
As an idol, which he was sprinting around this whole episode for. I don't really know that it's interesting to talk about, so we can just keep it at that. And then Tevin has an extra vote. And then everyone left standing after this episode has their shot in the dark still. Am I missing anything? Because Sega, or not, Sega never found anything. So it was just Hunter found his, Tiff found hers. And now, you know, Tevin has the extra vote because Maria already burned hers.
Well, Jem found it, but she burned it. She went home with it.
She went home with it in her pocket. That's what I meant.
Burned in her pocket. Burned a hole in her pocket. No. And Ben has gotten through his tribal without a vote.
Same with Hunter.
So, yeah. So I think like that's cleared off the board.
Okay. So quickly pre-merge, two things. One, when they get the note to drop their buffs, when Yanu like actually threw the purple buffs like in the fire, I was like, I would keep that. I'm thinking about other seasons I watch where people are like freezing cold, and I guess they have like sweatshirts and stuff, but I'm like, I would not be getting rid of anything. We've seen people use them in challenges. Like, I'd just be like keeping it in my literal back pocket unless they make you get rid of it. Unless they're like, that's your old, you can't be wearing that. You're getting a new buff, you know?
I think they might make them, but also I think Yanu is like, if they could remove the color purple from the face of the earth, I think they would at this point. I think they would burn all their purple clothes. Like, they are done with purple.
But do you think Mariah goes home buffless because she threw away her Sega buff?
Yeah,
assumingly.
I do.
That is great. I think they send you the torch, and they may send you a buff as well. I think everyone gets their torch.
Really?
I think I could be making that up.
What about quitters?
Fuck quitters. No. Unless you're Hannah, because I've really grown to like Hannah the first quit from last season. She's kind of a boss.
Yeah.
Okay, next is Nami Tribe. We get while Hunter's looking for his idol, Soda and Venus are getting into a little bit of a fight. And it's more like Venus being like, please speak to me. I don't understand why you're not talking to me. And Soda just like, there's not much to say. Like, we keep winning. And Venus is like, you just talk to me as a person. And I've seen Venus. She had a tweet specifically that was like, that fight with Soda was exactly my beef with Nami the entire time. Like, nobody was fucking talking to me. It was like I was talking to a wall. Nobody was responding to me.
Which, wow.
I know. It's crazy. And I can't wait to get into more Venus stuff, but wild. Mm.
That was a really funny... that as the backdrop for Hunter trying to find the idol under this, or the key under the stairs, was hilarious. I think it was just like epitomizes how dysfunctional Nami is, in that they are playing different games and have different priorities and no one's on the same page. It was good. It was good for me.
It was good. Anything else from pre-merge Nami and Yanu? Because if not, I want to jump like straight into the Mariah of it all.
I have some dumb little things. It's me nitpicking and being like, why do those stairs exist?
Okay.
Did you think about that?
I fully thought about that, especially on the second watch, because full clarity, our Wednesday night watch was, we were hooting and hollering.
Chaotic.
There's an extra person. Shout out Kevin. He came. And
we were watching on your phone at one point.
We were watching on my phone because the internet went out. So we had to go to my mom's Xfinity account. Shout out mom and dad.
Shout out Mooey.
And I had five people, including, and then the sixth being myself, watching on my little phone. So, yeah, it was fucking chaotic. So the second watch was really necessary. I was going to be a little scared for you if you didn't do a rewatch before this episode.
Yeah, me as well. Me as well.
I needed a full refresher, but
same.
No, stairs, why?
It's like a lived in, it's like, this is no longer a deserted island. Build your shelter and survive. This is like, here's a camp. It's pretty empty, but like, we built some stairs. It just feels summer campy and like, yeah, inauthentic to the survivor experience to me. So I'd be like, we built some stairs.
Can I tell you, this is the funniest thing. It's a little bit of a side tangent, but we were watching we must have been watching Cook Islands, Alex and I. And I'm hoping she's not listening to me tell the story.
Oh, but no.
Tribal is a shipwreck. And Alex said, I can't believe they found a shipwreck to build the set on.
That's good.
That was like, you know, the season
where they burned down a ship.
They used to burn camp like every season.
Oh, yeah. What was the season where they just fully burn an entire ship? They set an entire like pirate ship ablaze.
I don't know.
During their walk for champions or whatever. I don't remember.
Oh, I skipped that. Chat,
yeah, it's bullshit.
Everyone who's on the Discord or wherever you could reach out, bingeontv@gmail.com, whatever. Do you watch that piece? Because I'm going back, maybe when you're watching it live, sure. If you're watching a new season, there's nothing to do but watch. But when I'm watching an old season, because we have seasons we haven't seen, I fully skip that like March of the Dead Soldier thing. Like, there's no shot I'm watching that.
Yeah, no, well,
the episode's already too long. It's like,
that's
2 hours.
Because that's your choice, and my choice is to not watch the finale. So,
yeah, I know you don't watch it because you skipped the whole episode.
Okay, listen. I know people they're not listening to us right now to hear us talk about set design, but that was my only other thought about the fact that it felt like a set.
Sure.
I know Tribal is intentionally like a production. There's lights. Like, Jeff loves that thing at the end of the final Tribal Council where they bring it, like the crew like runs across like chaos. So like, that's a set, but it just felt weird to me that there were stairs. That is all. That's it.
I think that was worth saying for the record.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. So Mariah, and she's the big talk of Sega, obviously. So beforehand, there's the gem blindside. But really, the bigger point was the Mariah blindside of it all. She was not involved in that vote, but then Sega somehow talks her in to convincing everyone else at the merge that it was a unanimous vote. And immediately you and I that night were like, why? What does that benefit Mariah at all? And it obviously it got her voted out. It was a really poor choice, but I wanted to talk to you. Have you thought about this anymore and thought through, like, why Mariah did that other than just to stay Sega strong, thinking that was the best
case? I don't think she really had a choice. It sounded to me like the decision was made for her to, and I have a lot to say about Tim, my one of my two standouts for this episode. You know, we get that immediate right after tribal night camera scene where Ben is saying, like, you may have written my name down, but we care about you. And Tim's saying to Mariah, like, you're valuable. And they're kind of just like dropping honey into her ear to be like, you're more valuable to us as keeping our Sega number strong. We'll tell you what you need to hear so that you don't flip when we get over there, knowing that it's 5-5-3. Right. Sure. So I think that that was the intention. And I think, honestly, it feels to me, maybe it's just the edit, maybe this is totally off base, but that Tim was the orchestrator of all of that. I just feel like it kept coming from him to be like, well, like, don't show the cracks, you know, just it was a unanimous vote and blah, blah, blah. It just felt to me like that was of his making.
Yeah,
I understand it from a play at the get go. But the interesting part to me is that part of this whole, like, why Survivor exists in the first place is that Jeff is playing The Sims and, like, wants to see what kind of rules that a society builds. So you can go in and say, like, we're going to do this thing where we reveal no cracks. We stay five Sega strong. We try to keep the numbers. But if the rest of your society decides that a name for a name and the sharing of the cracks is the currency, then you have to abide to that. Like, they were too fixed in this initial plan and they were too rigid in it. And the lack of flexibility there was ultimately the lack of flexibility in juxtaposition to the absolute chaos and clear division and fracture in NAMI.
Yes.
That's what I think led to the demise. It's not just the, like, standing strong, but it's what the rest of the players want to do themselves. Like, you can make a plan, but if people aren't gonna, if you're not gonna bend to the wind, the way the wind's blowing, then, like, Tiff sees right through it and she goes, they're not giving me a name. They're gonna try to stay strong. Like, that's the thing we need to break up.
I have so many things to say. I was like trying to mark them down, but still listen to you and be like, I need to engage.
Okay, let's go.
One is, I would have liked a scene with Mariah and Maria discussing why Maria voted Jem, because Mariah was blindsided.
Yeah.
And the girls were in an alliance, quote unquote, in that tribe. We know Maria could have gone either way, really. I think Mariah, this is just my original off the top thought, she was in talking heads being like, I'd rather be alive and dumb or whatever than dead,
a living
like
pool.
Smart and dead, whatever she said. And I'm like, I want you to have a little fight in you. I want you to say, what the fuck happened there? Like, why didn't I know about this? I would have flipped to Jem, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Next is, I have a whole thing about a name for a name, but
yeah,
I think the fatal flaw in the 13 vote is that Jeff only makes six people eligible, right? Jeff makes this rule that there's two teams and seven are immune and six are not. So you have to work with who is left. And then we end up with three Sega, three NAMI. So they're at this, you know, merge feast and they're saying who should, and you know, I hate when the whole team doesn't get the merge feast. That pisses me off. I love watching people eat. I want everyone to eat. I hate that. And so I
forgot about
anyway,
that fetish.
So it's 3-3. And I get that not all the strong people were in the winning tribe, but there were strong people there. And so I'm in the Venus camp where she's like, why the fuck would you go for Mariah? And she, her own name is on the chopping block.
I know.
It's like, wait, why
that
are we going for Mariah? There's stronger people in this six. She's willing to risk herself to be
insane.
Like, let's play a better game, because a name for a name, they throw out Venus, who is a threat, I would say. She's like a threat because she's a liability, and she's a threat because she's a schemer. Yeah. So, and smart. But then there's Mariah, who, sure, like she's sweet. Everyone probably loved her, and she loves these games. I didn't watch the season with Aubrey on it, but Q really seemed to like grasp onto that. I just don't understand why. Like, I feel like they should take advantage and get someone better out. Maria or Charlie or someone that's like an actual real threat. But I guess Siegel wasn't giving up enough information for that to be a thing. But why vote out the weak link on the team that seems strong? You know what I mean? Like, why gun for Mariah? I guess they didn't know that. And I guess that's at the tribal. That's what Q was like mansplaining to her. Like, you know, if you said that, it would have changed everything probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all long winded to just say a lot of things. I guess my highlights there were I don't love this like break into two teams and only six people are eligible to vote. I actually have a Stephen Fishback
Love to read to you. No, so he's my Survivor crush.
Yes. So he said, the frustrating thing about Survivor Mergatory is that Venus was totally right. She shouldn't just gratefully go along with the vote while the self-anointed power players generously spare her until the next week. In a pre-41 season, that would have been bad gameplay, and she'd have to she'd have the wiggle room to do something about it. But because over half the tribe is immune, she's tactically forced to go along with the plan that seven totally safe people legislate from on high.
Yes.
Because the risk of making waves is too great, the time frame is too short, and the possible targets are too limited.
I have as like a theme to this episode just the power dynamic of these rando tribe splits in this mergatory period, creating such just strange dynamic. And exactly, like, I couldn't have said it better than myself. Steven, love you, boo. But it's exactly that. It's like understanding that six are vulnerable and seven are not. It's such a fascinating thing to watch. The people whose names cannot be written down hold all the cards when it was just a random thing. And like, I'm not going to be able to articulate it, but it is such an interesting power dynamic. It's interesting that it's there, that I'm not interested in it. It's interesting that they're choosing for it to be a part of the show.
Yes, I agree.
That makes sense.
And yeah, it does. I don't love it. I don't love mandatory. I would rather have, I mean, last season they did a tribe swap for two episodes, maybe, and then mergatory. And I felt
it was
going
to be a swap.
Yeah. And I remember last year we kind of were like, they didn't even let the swap breathe. I'd rather the swap be one more week, like have three weeks of the swap and then go. So it's not a perfect system, and it's in the new era. It's flipped a few times, but it's, I think we need to figure out a way to make that better. Because I would just love a first round chaos. Everyone's wide open. Who gets voted?
Yeah.
Like, that's fun to me.
It draws this line between like cool kids table and losers table.
Yeah.
Very, very. And which is like not a power dynamic I care about when the game is individual. Like, I want it to be individual.
How do you feel about, as Miss Tevin, you are Miss Tevin.
How
do you feel about Venus calling him King Tevin?
Well, that makes me queen.
That's true. Wait, so this is not something I had written down, but how do you feel about Tevin since you loved him in the beginning and so did I? It's been a lot of episodes. Nami has gotten not a lot of screen time, but the screen time we do get is that like Tevin and Venus are at odds. So how do you feel about Tevin in general?
In general, right now, I'm seeing him being a little bit underneath Hunter's wing. And I would like for him to step out and play his own game.
Yeah, agreed.
Which I get, we're early. Like, you have allies for a reason. Like, you want to have numbers for a reason. You want to have a voting block for a reason. My ideal Tevin situation is he orchestrates a blindside against Hunter. And
oh,
it's like, ultimate.
So
like, wouldn't that be it? You know,
I can't have Hunter making it too far. I needed like a sick blindside on Hunter ASAP.
Same.
And I think we were saying when we were watching, the second Hunter is not immune, you got to get him out. You got to get him out. I don't think the season would be worse for it. You know, sometimes characters like that are strong and challenge beasts, it's like a bummer when they get voted out because, you know, it's like, oh, they're good at the game, so they get voted out early.
Right.
But I think in this case, I'd be okay with it. I don't think it would hurt the season at all to have Hunter gone.
I agree. Oh man, there's so much to pull apart. Tevin, to me, yeah, I want to see what he does if he's able to play his own game.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people kind of feel that way on the beach, not like viewers, but I mean, Maria says at one point, she's like, I'm not here to play Tim's game. I'm here to play my game.
Loved that.
Q keeps saying like, Mariah, you gotta, I forget his exact words, but like, play your own game, basically, is the thing. Kenzie said it to Banu, like, this is your game too. Like, there's this weird, this brings me to my larger theme of the pacing of different people's games. And I wanted to talk about this last week, and I was all over the place and didn't have my thoughts together. But I think one of the reasons our dear Jem went home as early as she did was because she was playing at a much faster pace than the rest of her tribe was.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing Siga kind of slow. Like, I kept being like, we were joking because we're like, Tim's not going to make any decisions until nightfall. Like, he's just like, he's going so slow.
Yeah.
He's up on the beach. Like, people are like, what about that? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I'm not ready to make any solid moves. I thought, I didn't talk to Maria yet. I'm not ready to play.
Yeah.
It was just like, he's a sloth man and he still isn't shit. So that might have something to do with it.
He's got bricks in his belly.
But anyways, so people are playing at different paces and people are playing with right now like tight numbers. So mm-hmm. I'm excited for people to wake the fuck up, play their own games and take some agency and like play fast.
Agreed. And speaking of Kevin and Hunter and then Maria trying to play her own game apart from Tim's, let's dive into the six person alliance, aka for what will be known now as the plus one alliance. That's what they
I liked calling it the Journey Six.
Oh, well, they were calling it the plus one alliance.
Yeah, I guess that makes more sense.
Who is calling it the Journey Six?
I think Q calls it that.
Oh, okay. Well, we can. What do you think?
I like plus one because the Journey Six makes it seem like all six of them were on the journey when really
it's not true.
It was a plus one.
So Hunter, Tevin, Q, and Tiff are all good on the plan, but Tim didn't tell Maria, and we were like gobsmacked. We were like, "What the fuck?"
The night wasn't ready to tell her.
So funny because Q is playing a fast game. Talking about someone playing a game. Q was cracking me up hard. And I have a whole thing on Q. We got to like sidebar Q.
Me too.
But Tim, affectionately from me, you're the biggest dummy. Like he's in slow motion. It's just the nightfall was so fucking funny. Q's worried. And it's like, duh, Q, you made a six person alliance with someone you knew for 30 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was saying.
There was going to be a crack in the alliance. It ended up being fine. But I loved that Maria said that because I think when you watch a lot of the final tribals, if you've ever seen a final tribal, have you ever seen a final tribal?
Yes, I have.
A lot of people talk about like what differentiates your game from somebody else's.
Yeah.
And I think someone who's, this is kind of a spoiler, but someone who's famously bad at final tribals is someone like Amanda Kimmel, who she actually, when you watch the season, you're like, she had a great game, but she can't articulate it at all. And so people who can't articulate, a lot of times women get pinned, like we've seen on Heroes and Villains. The reason Tarv didn't win that is because they were like, oh, you just rode Ross's coattails this entire game.
Yeah.
And people hate Ross. So you know what I mean? So Maria, I think, knows that. And she's such a strong player. And she's like, I've got to differentiate this game. And I think if anyone's going to pull a blindside, Maria will on that six. Like, she's going to play within the six and then get the fuck out when she needs to.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Anything else on the plus one alliance you wanted to talk through?
Oh my God. Like, name a better four than Hunter, Tevin, because, you know, we love that dynamic anyways. Tiff and Q, even their dynamic where Q was like running and they were like, get over here was so funny to me. They're like, we've been waiting for you.
Wait, he's, can, like, I running say on the something?
Beach. Please.
Can I say something? I'm not rooting for Tevin and Hunter at all.
What?
I would root for Tevin separately, but as a pair, I'm not rooting for them. Something has changed within me.
Oh my God. Something is not the same. Listen, I hear that, but as a foursome, they
look like it's strong.
Four.
It's so strong. I mean, there's already a crack next week. Kenzie and Tiff are like, it's not Hugh's world, we something's wrong.
Oh, I didn't watch The Next Time On.
Yeah.
Ugh. They said that?
They said, they were like, that's not going to fly or something. They were saying like,
something has changed within them. Something is not the same.
They're tired of playing all the blame by all the rules, whatever the fucking lyrics are. Okay, so I agree with you that it is an insanely strong four. I don't like love Hunter because he just feels like he has a monopoly on all of the challenges.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I just watched a season, we both did, Panama, where Terry was monopolizing.
Crushing.
And I liked Terry, but again, I wasn't quite rooting for him for some reason. I'm like, he's dominating.
I was until a certain point, and then I was like, okay, this is starting to get obnoxious.
Yeah. So just,
and boring.
It's not that I dislike Hunter. There's just something in me that I'd rather root for the underdogs. And it was tough because
totally
when we were watching the challenge, I think you were rooting for Purple and I was actually rooting for the underdogs. And I'm like, it's not actually true because I want all three of the Yanus to be safe.
That's why.
It's the other people that I wasn't caring. I didn't want them to win.
Well, you wanted the women. We wanted, and like normally girlies. Yeah, I'm rooting for the girlies. That would have been fucking phenomenal. Imagine if it was actually GVB. Like I would have loved that. Then I would be like, Tiff, Kenzie, and the girlies can get it.
Yeah.
And the boys can suck it. But at this moment in time, my cheering for was for Yanu and less for underdogs. Like they're at different, they were at different underdog levels for me.
Agreed. And it was really,
how about
nice
my face dropping?
Oh my God. Yeah. What was that? What did I say?
I said, you said Julia, I want the other team to win.
Her face went full numb, like it
slack.
Went out, full slack. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Because you
recreate,
you
that
said,
face if you tried.
I don't know what possessed me. You said like I want them to lose about,
and
our
I
Yanus.
Was the one holding the television in my hand. My arm was getting tired from holding my fucking phone. It's so funny because it was the challenge that we were watching through the phone, so we couldn't even see what the hell was happening.
No. And everyone was covered in mud, so we didn't know anything anyways.
No. My mom, who's never seen Survivor before, watched it and was like, I have agita. This is making me... She goes, the mud was too much for me. I couldn't watch them.
Yeah.
I was like, thank
Welcome
you
Welcome to our world.
Them. Yeah. She would listen to our pod, so if she's listening, shout out, Mare.
Shout out, second shout out for Mare / Mooey. Hey, Moo Moo.
Hi. Okay, let's talk about Venus in general, because I think Venus has been playing so hard now that she has some room to do so. No one was speaking to her apparently on old Nami Camp. Now that it's new Nami Camp. So people see that she's a threat and a liability and super smart. Mm-hmm. And we see her go to everyone and just start gaming, trying to get information, probably a little too aggressively. And then Tevin talks to Tiff and Q and he's like, Venus is no good.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the name for a name? Because I think Venus is the first one to actually say that name for a name. And then at the feast, they talk about it a few times. So how do you feel about name for a name?
I love it because I think what I said earlier, that it's like it's a new established currency by name, right? So it is not new to trade information. It is not like a new concept to be like, who are you guys thinking? Who are you thinking? Like, who are you close with? Who's on the outs? I just love that. I think it's going to become an ism. Like, I think it is going to become something that is now like a coined phrase. Like, okay, well, if we're going to do name for a name, then... Like, oh, they weren't willing to do name for name. I just love it. The other thing I was giggling about, too, was like the idea of quote unquote my number one. I love.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the like lingo of that being like, well, he's my number one. And it's like, just think about what you're saying. He's
well,
my
D had two number ones.
She couldn't do math. She
like,
had.
You're both my number ones.
You're both my number one. I love you both. But she, on that note of her not being able to do math because she counted two number ones, she did an ad spot for On Fire with Jeff Probst and talked about how like some clothing line was like really good for her style and her budget. And I was like, you mean your millionaire budget?
Yeah.
Like, how is
a millionaire doesn't get you as far as it used to.
Well, I'd like it.
I'd like it as well.
Okay, but name for a name. I loved it. How about you?
I like it, but I think I already went over my qualms with it, just being like, name for a name is good, but the names they were giving weren't doing it for me.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. Sure. I just mean name for a name as a concept, as like a strategic lever to pull.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just had an issue with what the like outcome of name for a name was. And so obviously we know it's Mo and Venus. And then my favorite thing, which we already touched on, but you know, Venus tries to immediately rally Kenzie and Soda to vote Charlie because she's like, Mo is not a threat. Mo is not a threat. Let's get a boy. And first of all, Kenzie narcs her out immediately.
Yeah.
Kenzie was not having that. Kenzie is obviously sticking with the boys and sticking with Tiff and her alliance.
Yeah.
But I really respected this move from Venus. I thought this was crazy of her because, like Steven said, everyone's like, you should just be, quote unquote,
just go with the flow.
Grateful, says Q, which I hated.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that she's thinking, even though her name's on the chopping block, she's thinking past it. And I have another tweet from Helen from season 44. She's like an early boot.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, she said, trying to divert votes off another gal while your name is actively being thrown around, Venus, you will always be famous. I loved that because it was.
Yeah.
It impressed
That's
me.
Pretty
too,
great.
I think I like Venus more than you like Venus.
You do.
Even though we both have her in our pool.
Correct. Yeah. And I don't dislike her. I
think she's fun. I think she's like the fun one of the season. She is. She's spitting fire. I like
And you're kind of convincing me. Again, you're giving me comfort in like her girl powers ism and her feminism in this. And like,
yes,
Helen, I love that tweet because that's it. You're right. Not being passive, not being submissive and just saying like, as long as it's not me, it can be anyone. But being like, no, it's not going to be me. And guess what? It's also not going to be her. You fucker.
Right.
Like, I love that.
And I have another tweet. This one's actually from Venus and it says, let me tell you, the people on my season were so afraid of an all-women's alliance when in reality they should have clocked their own misogyny. God forbid a woman form an independent opinion.
Amazing.
And I agree. I mean, the boys are scared. The boys are scared of an all-women's alliance. I love an all-women's alliance. I'll vote
me
for that.
Me too. I love
time.
A coven.
I love a coven. Okay, let's talk the challenge. You have anything on the challenge?
The challenge specifically?
You don't have to. I don't have anything.
Really? Not really. I mean, I took a couple notes. I think it was funny that Jeff asked Soda if she was new here.
Yeah, that was funny. And that was Jeff kind of taking some of his power back.
He needs to because, again, these people keep taking his lions away from him.
Even in this one, Soda's like, okay, just do your thing. And it's like, yeah, I got it.
I will.
This is my job, Soda, please.
Don't embarrass me in front of the whole crew.
How about the feast? Anything specific at the feast that happened?
I mean, outside of all the like strategy stuff we've already talked about, no, I wish they would bathe before they would eat, but I can't have it all.
I wouldn't have either if I'm them. Like I would just go straight for it. You're so fucking hungry. Who cares? If everybody doesn't go and bathe, then you're like missing out on strategy talk. You got to just do what the majority is doing.
What were your thoughts on Hunter just being like, I don't have a vote, y'all?
Oh, I didn't like that. Why give that up? There's so many votes that you could have gotten lost and no one might have even noticed that.
I'll tell you why. It's because he was at the cool kids table. It's the power dynamic. It's this feeling of feeling safe and just being like, this is information that like I'm not even on the chopping block. So like I'm just going to give it up. And maybe it looks like I'm sharing something. But he said it so like he said it so casually that it was kind of like, OK, bro.
Like, I don't think he cared either way of who was going home. So I feel like he may have thought, I mean, because he doesn't care if it's Venus. If it was Venus was the name, no one likes Venus. So it's like, she's not a number for us anyway. So if she goes home, that's fine. But he should have played it a little smarter just in case, you know, someone did say, what about Soda? Or what about Liz?
Well, I think his thing was that he said, like, Venus is going to get herself voted out anyways. Like, she's going to do something crazy and rock the boat and get herself voted out anyways. So, like, let's get Mariah out, who is probably playing, like, a safer, sneakier, behind a little bit, like, not out in the open as showy and flashy as Venus has already been. So I think that was the thought of it. But I would be so stressed if it's, like, 5 minutes before our tribal and one person comes up to me and is like, we're changing the plan. I'd be like, we're not, actually. I'm not. What's going on?
Well, let's talk about the actual vote, because Charlie was the only one who voted for Venus. Everyone else voted for Mo. And at the tribal, our group, not me, but our group had seemed to think that that changed people's minds. And I don't think so at all. I think everyone went in wanting to vote Mo. And I can't believe that Maria, Tim, and Ben all voted Mo, no issue.
I thought that was strange as well. The only thing I could think of why Charlie voted for Venus, and maybe we'll get this answer next week, was like, in case her shot, if they thought she was going to play a shot in the dark, there's still a chance that then it would go to Venus. So they're like trying to just throw a vote on her.
But why didn't multiple people vote Venus? You know what I mean? Like, I thought all of Sega would have voted for Venus, unless at the end they were like, we have absolutely no shot. Everyone's saying Mo. Let's just vote with the group, because you're not a group. It's Sega versus Nami, and then Yanu in the middle.
It's very odd. Exactly.
Or maybe they just didn't want to make an enemy of Venus. You know, whoever votes for Venus could make an enemy of Venus. That's the only thing I can think of why.
I guess.
Yeah, it's silly.
I don't know. I'll be excited to see like the immediate aftermath of Tapa next episode.
So Tapa next episode, we have Tiff and Kenzie saying it's not the Q show, which I already said. Then there's a scene of Ben saying that he screwed, meaning like himself is screwed. And then there are two people going home next episode. So I'm assuming they're going to freaking split, do that thing where it's like two teams going up against each other. The last two of each team get immunity, but the team who stays the longest, that team gets reward. But then everyone else is not safe. But again, by splitting it in two, you are limiting the options of who gets to go home.
It's going to be like the Sifu Caleb, where Sifu gets voted off first and doesn't make jury, and next person will.
And I hate that.
Yeah, it ups the merge odds. Yeah.
About jury. If you make the merge, you should be on jury.
I don't know about that, though. I think it's like, again, the numbers. Don't make me do simple math on this. I'm like, I'm worse than D.
That's what I meant to say when you were saying D's bad at math. I'm like, same.
I'm bad at math.
Join the bad podcaster math club.
Here's, before we like depart, because I know we're coming up on time, can we like talk about Q in a container?
Go ahead, kick us off.
Well, I think this was a really standout episode for him.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him until I didn't. Like, I didn't dislike him, but I have something to share with you that I think you're going to, like, your head was, like, about to explode during the episode. Like, I feel like Alex's was, too, of
when you're saying, like, ungrateful and being, like.
But I think he had, up until that moment, I think he had a really strong episode. I think he's playing an interesting, we said this, like, very fast, very, very hard game. The pacing of it is pretty impressive. I think maybe he might need to slow his roll a little bit before he paints a target on his own back. But yeah, did you have any thoughts about Q specifically? I feel like,
I thought you said you were about to say something that was going to blow my mind.
I do, but before I get into that, like, what else?
He's testing me a little bit, but I love Q. Yeah. I'm a Q girly. I'm a big fan. I think he gives good talking heads, and he gives like old Survivor player energy where he's just saying goofy stuff. He's playing hard. He's more of the jock type, and he's handsome and like all this stuff. And he's giving like, you know, throwing caution to the wind a little bit and making a line. Like, he's fun. I like him to watch, but he was testing me a little bit.
What do you think about his, like, playing this coach teacher role? Like, I think it's still showing up. Like, he's not shaking that fully.
I mean, that's part of the thing I didn't like, is like him mansplaining to Mariah at Tribal was fine, but it was borderline mansplaining. It was borderline him being like, yeah, so next time, don't do that. But it's like, you're voting her off, so there is no next time. Like, what is this a teachable moment about? Like,
just
get the vote going. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Like, so anyway,
I don't think
he
can help himself. So the piece that I heard was in relation to the conversation that Mariah and Q have, where Mariah says that Aubrey is her favorite player.
Yeah.
And I listened to her exit interview with Rap as a Podcast. And she basically said that she shared that information after Q had already shared his favorite player, who was a winner, a male winner.
Okay.
So she felt like she would have the ability to pick Aubrey, who was not a winner. I think she was a kind of an iconic player. Like, I liked her a lot in Ko Rong, but she didn't win. Yeah. So she was like, okay, well, then I can say Aubrey. Like, if this guy's picking his favorite player as a winner, and I can say a not winner, and like, how am I the threat?
Are you trying not to spoil me by not saying the winner?
No, it was just somebody I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Picked like so and so.
Sure. Oh, so, wow. So she literally like she thought she was doing something like good and easy, and he took it and ran with and be like, oh, that's a red flag.
Yeah, but where was his fear? He picked his favorite player as a winner and like had no fear of repercussions of that putting a strategic threat on the board.
Sure. But
as soon as she says somebody, like she said, a woman who was like pretty damn good at the game didn't end up winning, but had this like kind of geeky, like slide under the radar, but was really smart. And then like now she's the threat and we got to get her out. There's danger in her eye.
Yeah, that's an issue, I think. Yeah. I still like Q, but there is like a double standard there, obviously, as there always is. Wow, that's funny. No, I think.
Yeah.
I'm glad you listened to those RHAP exit interviews because I think that adds.
There's good little tidbits in there. There's good little thingies.
I've never listened to that before. My last note is that in the post-feast scramble, there's that little bit where Hunter's like, well, Liz hates soda and soda hates Venus. Yeah. And he's trying to like convince that Nami is not Nami Strong. And I wish we just knew that a little bit more. Like, obviously, saying soda hates Venus, I think, is a little bit of an exaggeration. And he's saying it to a Sega player to try and get them to be like, okay,
yeah,
they're not Sega or Nami Strong. But saying Liz hates soda, I don't know if he was just trying to like create a wedge that's not actually there, or just like convince a Sega player. But I'm like, that doesn't feel true.
I don't know. We haven't seen it. If it is,
yeah,
he could just be saying that.
Liz just slid right under the radar this episode. She barely had any screen time. She had like zero talking heads. Her name didn't come up one time to get, even though she had no immunity. So funny. So funny. Maria too, really. And that's great for her because she's insanely a strong player. I think people are underestimating her if her name didn't come up once. Of course, they've kind of been edited out, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I feel like I got a big load off my chest. Because of all the things I had to say and like, all the thing, I had so many thoughts and feelings. You helped me talk through them. You brought me such comfort.
Always bring me comfort, girl.
You always bring me comfort.
You're
and
my
joy.
Best friend.
You're my best friend. I love you so fucking much.
I love you too, girl.
Anyways, truly, I feel brand new.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to pick up for the rest of the season. I'm pure. I'm ready. I'm choosing love. And I'm rocking.
Choosing love.
I'm rolling. This does
rock.
That
does rock. Stop it. This does rock.
Beautiful way to end. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the episode. Again, we keep saying it, but join the Discord. Come hang. Come talk. Shout out to the few who talk in the Survivor. I love it. We love your opinion. So keep them coming. And coming up, in June, which is I know a little while away, but we've got The Boys and we've got House of the Dragon. So get your rewatches in. Go listen to our old coverage if you need a memory jog. You don't feel like rewatching the season. But we'll be coming in hot in June with those two, which I'm so, so, so excited about. But we'll be rocking Survivor until then, baby. Okay? Peace, love, and season 46, bitch. We're Binge Town TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.